Good morning. This is again about lignin. This study is basically about the chemical composition of corn and its decomposition. The co-authors on this study were from McGill, Dr. Whalen, from the University of Toronto, Dr. Simpson, and from Agriculture Agri-Food Canada was Dr. Henry Jansen. So I was interested in corn basically because it is such a big plant. It can reach about 2.2 meters in height. Its production worldwide is close to 800 million tons. And this is produced on about 20%, more than 20% of agricultural soil. And from this, there is about 8 to 12, or up to 8 to 12 megagrams per hectare of residue produced and can potentially be returned to the soil after grain harvest. So once it is returned to the soil, it starts to decompose, and its decomposition is affected by the lignin and the C2N ratio, among other factors. And lignin is specifically of interest because it is recalcitrant. I'm not so sure about that anymore after the previous talk. But chemically, it is recalcitrant, and it has decomposition rate values that are much lower than other fibers. What the factors that affect the amount of lignin and nitrogen in the plant are, first, there's natural variation between the plant parts, such that the roots have higher lignin than the stems and the leaves. The hybrid type can be a factor. So, for example, BT corn is reported to be chemically different than non-BT corn, and there is a widespread anecdote among producers that BT corn is has a tough residue, and it needs improved tillage machinery to deal with it. So just a little bit of information about BT corn. It is a corn hybrid that have been genetically modified with the incorporation of a gene from the BT bacteria. And this is for protection against the European corn borer, which is the major herbivore pest, or one of the major pests of corn in North America. It is planted on more than 50% of the land. I believe it was 60 to 70% last year in North America. And it contains more lignin than non-BT corn. There's a question mark there because this is not always true. But this is what I based my work on. So my objectives were to compare the decomposition of the different plant parts, to determine if residue decomposition differs between BT and non-BT residues, and to assess the effect of elevated residue lignin on decomposition. And for this, there was an added exogenous lignin to the experiments. To a lesser extent, I was also interested in looking at how the molecular composition of the corn residue changes over time as decomposition progresses. So an incubation experiment was conducted. I had two hybrids, one BT, one non-BT corn. I believe they were near isolines. And they were grown in pots and enriched with C13 and N15. They were ground, and the different parts were mixed with the soil and incubated at ideal conditions for 36 weeks. This is a picture of the small microcosms that I used. The design was, I had three plant parts, so roots, stems, and leaves, two hybrids, BT and non-BT, and two levels of lignin, which is the natural lignin, which is the minus L, or the added exogenous lignin, which is the plus L, and this is to try and simulate the elevated residue lignin. CO2 was sampled at predetermined times, and soil was also sampled destructively for nitrogen mineralization, for isotope analysis, and for molecular characterization through cupric oxide oxidation method. For the results, I want first to show the initial material that I was working with. So first thing, I would like to show that the roots had higher lignin content than the stems and the leaves. And as a result, they had a higher lignin to nitrogen ratio as well. Second, that the BT stems had a much lower carbon to nitrogen ratio compared to the non-BT stems. And third, within the leaves and the stems, the BT always had a higher nitrogen content and a lower C2N ratio. So from there, the results showed that the amount of cumulative CO2 produced from the different treatments, the root samples produced much less CO2. There were not much differences between BT and non-BT, except in the stem samples, where the BT actually produced more, contrary to the hypothesis. And I think if you remember from the previous slides, the BT stems were the ones that had the higher nitrogen content. So this was related to the nitrogen rather than to the lignin content. The amount of total mineralized N over the incubation time also showed the same trend, with the roots producing the least amount, followed by stems and leaves, and no differences in BT or as a result of the BT modification, except a slight difference within the roots. The effect of exogenous lignin on CO2 was not that big. The samples plus L minus L did not differ much, except in the stems. So the addition of lignin to the stems produced less CO2. And this can be, I think, explained a little bit with this slide, which shows the amount of CO2, the functional relationship between the amount of CO2 produced versus the total amount of lignin that was added. So on the right are the samples with the added exogenous lignin, and on the left are the ones with the natural lignin. And the natural lignin correlated very well with the amount of CO2 with a significant p-value. And I mean, this is expected, and it goes well with the amount of lignin in the different plant parts. The added lignin did not, the exogenous lignin did not correlate well with CO2. And if you can see that the NBT stems there are separated from all the other stems on the left and on the right. And I think that this is the treatment that caused the effect that we saw before for the plus L lignin, the plus L samples that had less CO2 production. So it was as a result of the NBT stems, the non-BT stems. And this is again related to the amount of nitrogen rather than the amount of lignin, because those had the least amount of nitrogen. So I believe the addition of the extra lignin possibly had some, maybe some immobilization of nitrogen, but this is just a hypothesis. I'm not sure about that.